Where do we start this? An answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. Sure. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, author of the world's best-selling sales book, The Little Red Book of Selling.
And I'm Jen Glackow, founder and CEO of Sales in a New York Minute.
And we're here today on Sell or Die to make sure that you get the information that you need in order to make more sales, more money, keep your job, fire your boss, and take over the company.
That's right. This show is all about you and how we can help you. And all you need to do is find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app.
Tell both your friends.
And then give us a 5-star review.
Okay. And today's show is all about how you can improve your life. I want to make sure that you get that. Because when we start to talk about what happens in the sales world, we mean it.
Oh, yeah. So let's get into it.
It's time to sell or die.
Jeff, Caroline, can you tell us the main focus of the Shareable podcast?
Sure. So you want me to field this or you want to take it?
No, we'll tag team.
All right, cool. We'll tag team it. So we started Shareable out of our fascination with the impact that people and technology have on our lives. So people could be mentorship. It could mean people skills such as networking or sales or the art of persuasion and influence. It could also it go in a whole different directions. But technology being, you know, things like, you know, everything from the steam engine up to internet technology, social media, et cetera. And we're just fascinated by how those two factors allow us to shift the course of our lives and our careers. And that's really what we dig into on the show from every direction possible.
Because our view is that no one is unaffected by both of those things. You can't live your whole life without having your course corrected by those two forces.
Keep in mind, there's still people with a flip phone. And there are.
But that's technology.
Very few. You know what? Your friend has a flip phone.
Yep, I know.
He doesn't have a phone.
Huh?
He doesn't have a phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't have a but.
Yeah,
but,
we went to lunch with someone and he's a very nice guy. And he was like, if you're going to change anything, you need to call me at least an hour before on my office line because I don't have a cell phone.
Yeah. Okay, so the people
you should
that
interview him.
However, let me give you the good news. There's not many of those people. You can pretty much ignore them.
But by their choice to not use technology, they're actually still affected by it because the world around them has shifted and they've chosen not to.
Yeah.
So it's still a choice they've made. Technology still affecting them.
They've been shifted on.
And they have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, he can't even go buy a map anymore if he wanted to.
Exactly. Yeah, it's It's ways or go to hell.
So what's one of the coolest technology advancements you've heard about or learned about on your show?
Oh, God. So on our show would be a difficult one. Just to kind of give a broader context, maybe. In addition to the podcast, we have an agency called True Voice Media, which is a digital agency. So we deal a lot in, you know, mobile technology, social technology, things like that. So oftentimes when we're asking people about that, we're coming from already a depth of knowledge about how social tools can work in our world. So in terms of the technologies that people generally talk about, I'm usually most impressed by how people use like webinars and landing pages and email drips to grow a business. I think that that's super interesting.
What about funnels?
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot with funnels ourselves in using Facebook ads and moving people through awareness, consideration, and choice, and you know, retargeting and all the different things there. So I'm fascinated by funnels as a concept. Obviously, nobody falls into a real funnel, but you know, I think it's an interesting way to think about where people are in the buying journey.
I think also a lot of our guests come on and sort of tell us about how they're using something out there that's not a new technology that surprised us, but the way that they're using it is what surprises us.
Mm-hmm. Like what?
Like, yeah. I'm thinking of Doug Sandler and his episode when I know he's friends of your show too. But when he came on and talked about how he was using Twitter just for the first time after getting into podcasting and how he used that to sort of grow his now gigantic, massive listenership. But it really all started on his basic social media platforms. He'll tell you firsthand, he didn't even know what he was doing. Yeah. And then just
that's
learning.
Okay. You're allowed to not know what you're doing unless you're a heart surgeon. Then I want the heart surgeon to
then
kind
you
of know
better
what,
know what you're doing.
Exactly.
Know
what he's and doing. Not hiccup. But the bottom line is it's all knowable now. Mother Google will teach you everything you need to know.
I love that.
Mother.
It's true. We were trying to figure out something earlier, and Doug's like, do you know how to do this? I'm like, I don't know. I have the same problem. And he's like, let me just ask Google.
I call it Father Google because it's Mother Siri, and Mother Siri knows nothing.
Mother Siri knows everything. Mother, you just Google have to ask, like, her correctly.
Yeah, exactly. Mother Google is like Mother Nature. Google is not only is it Mother Google, Google is Santa Claus.
Wow.
She knows when you're sleeping. She knows when you're awake. She knows if you're good. She knows if you're bad. Come on.
I guess that's fair.
That was a great setup.
So you guys do know what you're doing with social media. How do you use it to get the word out about your show and grow your business?
Yeah.
So I want to just, I'll set you up for this. Okay. I'm going to like T-ball it up for you. But so we have a lot of different things that we do in both organic and in paid social media. And we know that there's a certain amount of, like, after the show, engaging the audience that's necessary. But recently, one of the things that we've done that I'm really happy about, and I'm going to tee it up for Caroline, is what we're doing with our Instagram account. Caroline, take it away.
All right. Well, let me preface this by saying we are not the best at practicing what we preach. We are trying to better embody that. And that's been an effort in recent months since I've graduated from college and become more full-time with working for True Voice. But it's sort of become something that I take a lot of care and attention into planning out ahead. So thinking about, like, what episodes we have, how I can repurpose quotes from our show and make that content that we can share and other people can share as, like, we do one thing, but how can we turn it into five more pieces of content?
Got it. So you're going to take our best stuff and you're going to Instagram me and Instagram Jen and then tag us?
And we're going to tag the hell out of it.
Okay. So what's your Instagram account right now?
It is Shareable Podcast.
Oh my God.
S- yeah.
S-H-A-R.
And that's our Instagram. And then we each have our Instagram, and sometimes we'll use the True Voice Media. And we're doing similar things with the True Voice Media podcast, where we'll take quotes from the episode, or we'll use Instagram images as teasers. We'll use that same content on our Facebook and on our Twitter. Mm-hmm. So what Caroline's getting at is the atomization of content, taking one piece and turning it into many, or taking a lot of little pieces and bundling them together to make one bigger piece of content. Mm-hmm. For instance, last season on Shareable, we asked every guest for a book recommendation. And then we put together a reading list. Now we have a reading list from our guests. Mm-hmm. So we're always looking for how do we create more and more valuable content for our listeners.
Without having to do, you know,
additional
everything, even though we do have our hands in sort of everything.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But I think the challenge for you is to create more of a broader audience, correct?
Yeah, definitely. That's something that I spend almost all of my time here thinking about and, like, trying to read about and learn about. And being a podcast that's still not even a year old, we definitely are still working to find our audience. And I've been actually listening to, do you guys listen to Masters of Scale?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so a good one.
I just dug into the first episode of that show after Jeff recommended it to me, and thinking about how Reid Hoffman goes through, I think Airbnb, the founder of Airbnb is on that episode, and they talk about creating that audience of one and really handcrafting your product for them so that it's something that they really, really value and really appeals to the person who buys into your product first. So that's kind of what's been rolling around the back of my head these past days. I'm trying to think of what tactics I can employ over here with Shareable to start that growth.
How important is it for you for the people that you're helping and serving as your clients, for them to find the right technology as opposed to just incorporating as much as possible into what they're doing?
Oh, everything is about finding the right fit and being strategic. So first and foremost, we are strategists. So we don't come in with a box that we sell to any client. We come in with, what's your problem? Let's see if we can solve that. And we'll be real honest if we can or if we can't, based upon what, you know, assets they have or what challenges they have and what budgets they have. So if they come in and they're looking for a technology solution, first, maybe they don't need an actual technology solution. So that's the first thing I would think. But if we were going to recommend implementing some sort of a technology, we would want to make sure that it's the right one to integrate with other technologies they have, that the people that they have are willing to adopt it and use it, and that it fits what their actual needs are. So I'm 100% behind, you know, if you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail. For us, we're carpenters. We'll use all the tools.
So tell me about your first time.
My first
time. Not that first time. Tell me about your first experience with some kind of technology that said, oh man, this is it.
Ooh. Oh God. If at the risk of having so much of my week consumed with this,
I know your answer.
I think Twitter was probably one of the biggest game changers for me in my in my life from a technology standpoint, because I was coming out of my MBA in 2008, and it was around the time that Twitter was becoming something. Facebook had just opened up, LinkedIn was there, and I really gravitated towards Twitter because it was wide open, it was searchable, it was so communal back in those days. And I thought that that was the thing that I said, this is going to be the game-changing technology. And it's why I put all of my time and energy and passion into understanding how social would work, because it combined those two things I'm most interested in, people and technology, in a big open space where the discourse could be seen by all, and it could be really, we gave ourselves the opportunity to be open and vulnerable and really share in the human experience. Now, what it's become is something different.
But, can I jump in on this question?
Caroline, what's yours?
Great question, because it's so revealing about how a person likes to communicate. Like for Jeff, it makes sense that you're, like, knowing you as well as I do, that your answer is Twitter, because you're very focused and you like to communicate in as like a short and sweet a message as possible. You like to simplify a really complex topic for somebody and deliver it in a way that's very easily to understand. That's embodied throughout all the way you do business. And for me, the technology that sort of changed, that hits me in that same way, was when a friend had told me what podcasts were. So I had been grown up listening to radio in the backseat of my mom's car. And I had always enjoyed the programs, and I would tune into, you know, NPR when I was feeling not in my top 40s moods. But a friend said, you know, you can get those on demand, right? You can just download, you can use the iTunes podcasting app and download episodes to your phone. And it revolutionized how I listen to media, and it jump started a career. And so that's like, and it's, I think that speaks to how I communicate. I'm very verbal. I like to really hash out an idea and talk it through before I deliver it to someone. So I think that really reveals a lot.
So everybody has their own favorite thing. I wonder if you cross things, like when you post an Instagram, do you put it on your Twitter as well and say, follow us on Instagram?
Yeah.
It depends. So for me versus how I might recommend to a client, but I think each network is going to be different. So for instance, I think putting an Instagram picture on Twitter, if you put it on there natively, it looks like a Twitter picture. But if you were to add your tweets to Facebook or your Facebook posts cross post to Twitter, generally I would advise against that, because those are two very different networks. So I don't like to see people's tweets on Facebook. And I don't like to see, I hate seeing people's Facebook on
because
their Twitter.
Because it doesn't always show up in the right format. There's like a random link, and sometimes there's not a picture.
Even more than that, it's showing me that you're not here. It's showing me you're just pushing to me, and you're not actually being a part of the community that I'm currently partaking in. I want you to be here when you're posting. I don't want you to be, you know, posting it from across the internet. I want you here with me to engage in that conversation, because that's really what makes this whole social thing special, right? But the ability to communicate and connect.
To your question, Jeffrey, we don't do enough cross-pollination of, and I think you're just saying, do you say like, hey, we also have an Instagram on our Twitter, not necessarily like,
or here's our best Instagram this week, why aren't you following us?
Exactly. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram, but it's as a Twitter post.
No. Why aren't you following us? Not follow us.
Okay.
It's like going into a bakery, you go into a restaurant, like us on Facebook. No one does that. Like, honey, let's go home.
They do if you get a free Suarez cupcake, okay?
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. That's the only time.
Just saying.
I do like the question of why aren't you following us? That's a good one. But when it comes to like the whole cross-promotional thing, I sometimes get a little bit of a reaction to doing that, because I see people that are like such self-promoters, and I just feel like if I'm valuable enough, people are going to follow us.
If I follow somebody on Twitter because they retweeted me, they'll direct message me and say, you know, you can also follow me on Facebook. I'm like, dude, yeah. I'm not going to follow you anywhere,
and
ever.
Sometimes they're automated.
No, I'm unfollowing.
Okay, so when we went on your show, you had us come up with the perfect salesperson, essentially. And we built a salesperson from scratch.
Yeah.
And I want to do a little similar exercise here. You guys are social media experts. How do you build a social media following from scratch? I'm Joe salesperson or Jane salesperson, and I want to become known in the world of social media. What do I do?
I'm on LinkedIn, but I don't tweet.
I'm not even on LinkedIn. What do I do? Where do I start?
Okay, so I'm gonna put you through a couple different steps. You know, obviously I'd ask you a lot of different questions. So the first question I'd ask is, you know, what do you like to do? Do you like to write? Do you like to take pictures? Do you like to hear yourself talk? Do you like to be on video? What's your favorite mode of communication? I would make that kind of as a starting point. The second thing I would probably ask you about is, you know, what are your tendencies and how you like to use the internet? So for instance, I like to organize things into piles. So I love Pinterest because I like to organize things into neat little buckets.
You're the first guy I've heard say I love Pinterest.
He loves Pinterest.
I do like Pinterest.
That's
because
so cool.
It's kind of girly, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, not the stuff I follow. I follow a lot of superhero stuff and cars, and watches, and James Bond.
It's a cool platform.
It is. It's cool. And
so
I like.
Hold on a second. You've already told me two things about what you like. What about what your customers like? Isn't that what social media is about?
Yeah. No. So what I'm not saying necessarily. I'm just giving examples. This is what I like. But what I ask about is first, because here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your customers like at the outset. If I can't convince you to actually do it, you're not going to do it. Like if you hate writing, I don't care if your customers like reading. You don't like writing. So I first need to understand that you don't like writing. Doesn't mean that you're not going to have written communication. It means I need to understand you before I can sell you on doing something. So let's say you like doing video, but your customers like reading. They like reading, you know, written content. I might tell you to do a video, get it transcribed, and have an editor turn it into a blog post. Now I'm beginning to understand how to actually work with you to create the content you need to create for your audience. So step one would be I need to understand what you like to do and what you feel like you're good at doing and how you behave online. If I understand those things, we have a starting point. Then we turn to the audience. And I think at probably even one step before all of that, let's go back even one step further. What's your goal? What are you trying to do? Are you trying to build a network? Are you trying to sell something? Are you trying to eventually monetize your audience through ads? You know, what's your move? Because that's all going to change it. So we start with goals. Figure out who you are and what you're into, and we work backwards.
Do you find that most people don't know what the hell they want?
Yeah, all the time. Most people come to us and they think they know what they want, but really they don't. They know that social media is important. So they'll come in and they'll be like, we need a Facebook page.
But
we need
more
Twitter
of a vanity
followers.
Project,
yeah, it's usually ego-driven. And when I really push them on it, I say, well, what do you really want? And they're like, well, we want more sales. And I'm like, then why are you trying to grow your network? It's not about growing your network. It's about growing your sales, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that might be a function of it. You may need a bigger network to have more people in your pipeline. You might have enough in there. You're just not closing enough sales. So we really try to first identify what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, I think that most people will give you a top line superficial answer and not really give you a bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I want more connections. I want to engage more people. I want to broaden my audience. That's bullshit. I want to find out what they really want.
Also, why do you want an audience? If you're going to have one, what are you giving to them?
Yeah.
Where's
the
value?
So we ask a lot of questions. We dig really deep on it. And in terms of, you know, how you go about doing it next, you know, you have to identify, you know, let's say you're a salesperson, you know, Jane Joe salesperson, whoever. What's your unique, you know, selling proposition? What makes you different? And, you know, I was talking with a personal trainer yesterday and she was saying, I need to use social media. It's important. I'm like, okay, well, what are you going to do that's different? Are you just going to be a trainer that uses social media? Because nobody cares. There's plenty of those. What's your
See
what's
the
your
fitness
thing?
Hashtag on Instagram.
Yeah. Like, are you a yoga person? Are you like, you know, a diet and nutrition person? Are you all about, you know, Pilates? Are you about cardio? Are you CrossFit and kettlebells? Like, what's your thing?
Do you hashtag you fat bastards?
That might be your thing.
That could be your thing.
That's the thing. That actually could be your thing. Maybe your thing is you're the trainer that calls people fat bastards. But, you know, everybody needs a different kind of coach, right? Like, I need somebody to tell me that I'm a special, unique snowflake and I'm going to be really good at what I do.
That is not what your business coach does.
I'll get you a pacifier with Drexel on it.
I got a different kind of business coach. My business coach yells at me and tells me I need to step my freaking game up.
I was going to say, I don't see the unicorn sitting over there.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
we have an alligator instead.
Yeah,
okay.
Very nice.
Spider-Man stuff. So, I mean, there's no one answer to it, but we identify the goals and then we build it backwards.
Well, I think that you certainly have given it a solid effort. You know, you have a great show. Your patter, I think, is real good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if your customers are as good as you are, I think you're in pretty good shape.
Thanks.
Yeah. I think that's an important point. Like, making sure that we're picking out customers too that align with our values and what we're looking to accomplish with the world too. Because then you're both bringing something to the table and you're both invested in each other's success.
We like our customers.
Are you allowed to put stuff on your walls?
We have
one poster that we've yet to hang up.
Yeah, it's all of the Avengers and from like every Avenger series.
Yeah, we're big nerds here.
If I were you, I would put either a picture of the Liberty Bell or a cheesesteak or the Eiffel Tower.
What, everybody?
They're all from Paris today.
They're all here. It's all right
here.
They're
outside.
It doesn't make any sense. That's like if you were in New York and having like a picture of like the Empire State Building. Like,
well, we did. Like we could see the Statue of Liberty from our office, and then to the side of the window, we put a picture of the Statue of Liberty. Okay, so Caroline, how do you go from loving podcasts, listening to podcasts all the time, to then building and being the co-host of a podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't know if I said this yet, but I'm pretty young. I'm 22. This is my first job working for True Voice Media. And, like Jeff said,
how's she doing, Jeff?
Yeah. How am I doing?
She's doing great.
Great. Your pattern is very good. You sound like you're 24.
Thank you. Yes, but I first of all, I've been listening to podcasts since I was a kid, and in a way that I
Caroline, radio, don't look now, but
don't say it, Jeffrey. You're not a kid. Don't say it.
Okay.
No.
I am a kid. And okay, so how did I get from being a big fan to doing it?
Yeah.
You just wake up one day and you're like, okay, I know how to do it. Or did you have to research? You know, what?
I had to pick a major. It was my sophomore year of college. And they were like, you sort of have to pick a major or else you can't graduate this thing. And I was like, okay, what feels natural to me? Like talking is something that definitely comes very easily. And that sort of led me to communications, which was the only place I could see maybe getting into radio. That was my starting point. I'll get into radio. I'll be a broadcaster. And that led me through this pathway where I met this friend eventually who said, have you heard of podcasts? That turned me onto that whole medium. I've been consuming them obsessively. That happened about 2 years ago at this point. And then I started with this internship with Jeff, and my very first day, I made the decision to treat my new coworkers with the warmth of my best friends. I wanted to walk in there and develop really strong relationships and treat them like with the intimacy that you treat your closest friends with. I was really honest with them. Yeah. He was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I love podcasts and I want to learn how to make them. And he was like, great, we have a podcast.
Cool.
And put me in charge of it. Yeah.
So wait a minute. You didn't have a podcast until Caroline showed up?
No, I've been podcasting since 2013, I think.
Oh my God, 2013.
Like so I've been doing it for a while, and we had the True Voice Media podcast. And when she came, it was similar to what Shareable is now, except, you know, it didn't have as strong of a focus. I just kind of did it, and I like talking to smart people. So she came in and I was like, okay, you're on the podcast. Go find me awesome guests. Here's my giant wish list of people.
His wish list of guests that he wouldn't have, like, this was his like highest reaching, like at his all-star list. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea who they were.
And that makes it easier.
Yeah. So much easier. She had no idea.
I cold pitched Jeffrey Hazlett to come on the show. And he ended up saying, yes, I'm totally interested. He was actually how we got connected to Doug.
Wow. So cool. So long story short of it is that Jeffrey Hazlett says, hey, we want you to come onto C-Suite as one of our shows if you're interested. We decided to say yes. We didn't want to bring the agency show onto it because it's our agency and we don't want it to be. So we came up with a new one, and Shareable was born, and now we have Shareable, and she's our producer because, well, I don't have time. I'm running an agency and she's really into it. So we stumble along the way, but she's got it.
So how does getting that yes build your confidence and build your eagerness to get to the next yes?
Well, I think it was accidentally cold emailing about 50 people off of that wish list, because about half of them said, yes, we'd love to be on your show.
Wow.
And like, once we sort of figured out that rebranding process, I already had like 15 of those people who had agreed to a date and time that we were just like, hey, we're rebranding our show. Can we get you on at this date and this time? And then it was a matter of just doing the thing.
Has that given you a lot of confidence?
So much confidence. Like, I mean, being young, I feel like that falters based on, you know, just like having setbacks of like not having an ideal living situation, or right now I live with four boys, like just like
the we other don't really men, need boys. That much information. Yeah. But
so let me
I
just
would recommend never telling anyone you're young and let your intelligence speak for itself.
Yeah, no one's going to care about your age.
Yeah,
and those are the sort of things that, you know, in my role as leader of this company that I try to work with Caroline on is like, you know, look, you are great at what you do. Just go in there. You don't have to apologize for anything.
Right. And that's still
I'm sorry. I'm so young and stupid.
But there are times where she'll come in and she's like, I don't know if I should be this. Like these people. And I'm like, do you remember when you first came here and you didn't know shit and you just went in there and you sent an email and they said, yes, just go do that again. And
that's she's like, interesting. Oh, okay. It's easier when you don't know shit.
Yeah.
Oh, because I had no idea. Caroline, where'd you go to college again?
Stockton University.
Oh.
Yeah. So you think it's that
formerly Richard Stockton College.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's in Jersey, right?
Yeah.
You think it's that fear factor that takes over that holds you back?
Definitely. Yeah. No, I'm a normally anxious person as well. So fear is something that plays a large role in my life. But I feel like in the face of those decisions, when it could go one way or the other, like some part of me is just like, we don't have time for you to be afraid of this. So just get over it.
Is Stockton in Trenton? Where's Stockton?
Stockton is in Galloway, actually.
Where the hell is that?
It's about 15 minutes, 20 minutes outside of
just
Atlantic
map
City.
Map it. You have a computer.
Yeah. I could have mapped it. Yeah, true.
So, Jen, just regarding your question on fear, though, when I was on Doug's podcast, the title of my episode is Using Your Fear as Fuel.
Yeah.
So what I try to instill in people in my company is that fear is actually not the enemy. It's your greatest single motivator. And if you can turn it into your fuel, you'll accomplish a lot more.
So how have you turned it into your fuel?
I feel like...
Wait, for which one of us?
Okay, Jeff, you go first.
Yeah, go first.
Okay, so for me, I just have no place for it. So when I fear when I feel that fear of doing something, I know that that's my opportunity to just confront it head on and kick it right in the face and just beat it. Because I don't ever want to look back in my life and say, oh, I should have this or I should have that and felt that it was fear. It was the reason that I couldn't do it. So I confront it and I go head on it. And I also keep in the back of my mind, I remind myself that every bit of growth in my life has come from overcoming obstacles and learning from failure. So screw it. I'm just going head on into it. And if I fail, I'll figure it out.
And were you fearful when you started your company?
So here's the thing. I'm terrified every day. If you've seen the Avengers, there's a part in the Avengers where Bruce Banner's about to turn to the Hulk and they're like, hey, you should really turn to Hulk. And he said, you know, this thing about like, you know, the secret is I'm always angry. So I'm always terrified, but I use that as my fear. So I'm afraid that all of our clients are going to leave. I'm afraid that I'm not going to have enough money. I'm like, and I use that to say, hell no, I'm not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
I move forward.
Yeah. It's fear of the alternative of not confronting like the thing that is that's scary, like letting it fall and slip and being remorseful or regretful.
Yeah.
That's what I'm more afraid of.
And I also do the power of negative thinking. I play out the worst case scenario and realize I'll survive.
Yeah.
Why don't you just reread Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People?
I read it every few years.
Yeah. I mean, that will give you the positive side of it. And it talks about self-confidence rather than fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm both really. But for me, anytime I can,
you lack self-confidence and you're afraid.
Yeah, I know that the fear is not going to overtake me and whatever it is I'm afraid of can't beat me.
Got
so
you.
I have the confidence to know I'll overcome it, but the fear is there and I just let it motivate me to not lose.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That's how I do.
How about you, Caroline?
I feel like I use it. Jeff and I have very similar personalities. I think that's why we get along so well and enjoy doing the show together. But I definitely use it in a similar way where it's fear of letting that opportunity slip through the cracks. It's if I don't do this, I will think like, what was I thinking? I could have been a podcast host by the time I was 22. And if I didn't walk in.
Have you seen On the Waterfront?
No, I haven't.
I could have been a contender.
I could have been. And I don't want that to be my story.
Cool. Yeah, good.
That's her. You've seen her Snapchat story.
What I think you should do is go back to Stockton.
That's funny.
You should go back to Stockton and talk to your class. Talk to the next class of people that are going to graduate.
I would love to. I am doing a podcast with a project that I used to do, and I actually get to interview students who are doing the project that I used to do at school, and we're going to make a show out of it. So I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, I would talk to the head of the department and say, listen, I graduated and have kind of made it. I'm on my way, and I'd like to be an encourager.
I love teaching people. I love working.
I'm a
with
pretty
students.
Big deal. I don't know if you've heard.
Oh, okay. Right.
Have you heard of me?
I'm on the internet.
Oh, that's funny.
So I think we've learned a pretty good lesson today about self-confidence. And if you're
and social media,
if you're in the audience and you're a chicken shit, this show is for you.
I'm going to re-listen to it next time I'm feeling down.
Exactly. Because you'll learn about yourself. But obviously there's fear in everyone's soul just a little bit. But when you confront it and you realize that it wasn't that big of a deal, it actually bolsters your thought process.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff, you could probably tell me about that for a week.
Oh, yeah. I got lots to say about it. And if you want the 30-second version of where that all stems from in me, I'll tell you that when I was 13, I went through this little period of like I was kind of down in like the teenage thing. And I saw the movie Dead Poets Society. And I remember that whole period of Carpe Diem. Captain. And it really impacted me with this idea of, every day, you never know whether you're going to have tomorrow or whatever. So just take advantage of it. So I always kind of have in my mind, like, if this was my last day here, would I want to have it be a day where I spent it kind of moping around or fearful or not taking that risk? Or would I want to end it on the high note? And that's just been something that I've carried with me since the time I was 13. And it's really motivated me to capitalize on whatever opportunities I have and not let them slip by. And I'm not, I'm not 100% on that, but I really try for that.
It's the mindset.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on Sell or Die. Subscribe and rate us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Just search Sell or Die.
And follow us on Twitter. I'm at Gittimer. On Facebook, I'm / Jeffrey Gittimer.
I'm at Jen in a New York Minute.
You follow me, you follow Jen. We tweet it, we Facebook it, you click it, you join it.
Thanks to our amazing guests today. Our producer is Doug Branson, and our technical director is Chris Hill. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.